Buccaneers fans, Black Friday starts now at Bill Curry Ford. Get an Amazon gift card up to $1,000 with every new vehicle purchase or lease at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. BillCurryFord.com is the website. See all the tremendous offers right there. BillCurryFord.com. Proud presenters of the Scuttlebucks and the Ira Kaufman Podcast at JoeBucksFan.com.
What the heck's going on here?
Buccaneers fans, a hurricane cannot stop this podcast. The sage of Tampa Bay sports marches on. He is also the king of Pasco County, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee Dekemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. This is episode 2 of this week, the post-recovery edition. Ira, how are you today? Are you underwater? How are you?
Well, podcast 1, I was demoralized. Here we are. I'm over the debacle. I don't know if Lee is, but I'm over it. So now I'm curious. I'm curious to see how this franchise is going to respond to, I think, one of the worst days in recent franchise history, given the circumstances. Lee, the pattern says the Bucs lose and then they win 3 in a row. The Bucs lose, then they win 3 in a row. Now, to do that again, they've got to beat the Panthers, Rams, Chiefs. That's not easy. But I got to think they got that game in the rearview mirror. Here come the Panthers. They're 3-6. They've lost 4 in a row. They're playing hard. But Lee, they're 3-6. And their best player's not playing. But I'll say this. I like Teddy Bridgewater. And let's not forget this. As much as the Bucs hounded him in week 2, 5 sacks, 2 picks. Lee, the guy completed 33 passes. 33 against this defense. So let's not look at the Panthers as a pushover. I'm very curious to see which Buck team shows up.
Well, Ira, interestingly, your colleague, Peter King of NBC Sports, he refers to this game as, and I direct quote him, a coin flip. I am impressed like you are about the Panthers. I'm not in the tank for Teddy Bridgewater, but I think Matt Rhule is doing a hell of a job. He's got a tough team. He's got a smart team. They fight. They claw. They don't quit. You can't just walk through the Panthers. You got to put them away. They're a scrappy team. I'm just very impressed with the overall team, the mentality, the toughness, the fight, the intelligence they play with. They don't have near the talent that the Chiefs have or the Bucks have. And you can't go against the Panthers thinking I'm playing a 3-6 team. You got to go against the Panthers like these son of a guns are going to be playing in February. What I'm looking at is, and I said this on a previous podcast, Arians always talks about the character of his players. It's an old Bear Bryant thing. You know, we'll see what kind of character we have. I want to see what kind of character the coaching staff has. Because that game plan on both sides of the ball, that game plan should never see the light of day again, no matter who they play. That was completely and totally garbage. Both sides of the ball. You got man press corners, you're playing zone. I mean, hello, Mike Smith. Come on.
Steve, one aspect of this matchup that I think is really in the Bucs' favor, and I think it could be decisive. You know, Carolina's pass rush, Steve, you know, Brian Burns, I know our man from Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan, loved him coming out of college, and he's a good player. But, Steve, their pass rush isn't very good. I mean, it's just not very good. I think they got 9 sacks. The Bucs got about 28. So I don't think they can mount a much of a pass rush against Brady unless they move Brian Burns to right defensive end and let him go up against Donovan Smith, gentlemen. So I think if Brady, that might be what I would do, even if he plays normally on the left side, I'd switch him in immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of going up against a rookie, you'd rather have him going up against Donovan Smith. That would say it all, Steve. But I think Brady's going to have time, and I think, you know, in that respect, I think Carolina is in trouble.
Sage, I wanted to go back to what you said about Teddy Bridgewater completing all those passes against the Bucs. It's very, very important, and it ties to what Lee said, to recognize that the Bucks led 21-0 in that game, and what did they do? They started playing zone. They started playing soft because they had a 21-point lead, and Bridgewater picked it apart and brought them back into the game. McCaffrey, who won't play Sunday, had 2 touchdowns, and so I think that was more the Bucks letting off the gas than Bridgewater, you know, being incredible. When he was blitzed a few weeks later, Ira, relentlessly by the Falcons, he was completely rattled. He threw for 50%. He threw a couple of picks. Ugly game. So I just think it's important to remember that, Ira. And I don't know why it's so hard to say the Panthers have a garbage pass rush. 9 sacks in 9 games. That's horrible. That's worse than the worst of the Bucks' miserable pass rush that we saw for a chunk of the lost decade. They cannot get to the quarterback. Even when you appeared today on Charlotte Sports Radio, Ira, the guys, the hosts, were just sort of down in the dumps. Yeah, they're not going to get to Brady. Yeah, it's going to be a long day. They don't have the horses. They don't blitz much, and it bodes well for the Bucks.
They got a really young defense, right, Steve? They went all defense, I think, in the draft, all defense. And that'll pay dividends down the line. But Derek Brown, you know, he's not Aaron Donald, you know. So he's playing better. But, Lee, I need you to respond to Steve's point, which is, and maybe we're missing something, but, Lee, we got 9 games in the book, and the evidence is clear. When Bowles steers away from his blitz-happy scheme, the Bucks are very, very vulnerable. And Steve's right. They changed their defense in the second half in week 2. They paid a price. It was 24-17 till Leonard Fournette salted the game away. I mean, that game was still in doubt at that point. We saw what happened Sunday night. Terrible game plan against a guy like Breeze. And so, Lee, you know, you got to get back to sending David and, you know, Devin White. And if, you know, if that puts more pressure on your secondary, so be it. But, Lee, that's the way they've been successful this year. I don't understand why Bowles gets away from that.
That's a huge question. I mean, a high school coach should know better than that. As opposed to a guy who used to be a head coach in the NFL and everybody, you know, brags about how smart he is. Me too. I'm as guilty as the next guy. I mean, that's just downright dumb. Unless he's being ordered to do that. I don't know if Arians is that crazy or not.
I don't think Ed Glazer's got that kind of power, Lee. I really don't. But.
Yeah, I know that. But real quick, Panthers pass rush. Brown's been, you know, his rookies have been playing better of late. They're just getting this Matos guy. I always butcher his name, so I'll just say Matos. Rookie from Penn State pass rusher. He's just now healthy. You know, I've seen enough of the Panthers. They're not a 3-16. You know, we could say, oh, they're a 3-16. Why don't they get to the quarterback? Well, you know what? They had 5 more seconds on the clock. They probably would have beat the Chiefs, you know, Super Bowl champions. So the Panthers, as we speak right now, are not the Bucks of 2 years ago.
Lee, here's another point, and Isbitz has made this before. I think it's a very good one. Devin White, who, you know, does a lot of great things. And by the way, he had 14 tackles Sunday, but that got lost because a lot of them were 8 yards down the line of scrimmage. I understand that. Remember when Barrett Roode used to do that, guys? Hey, Barrett Roode had 11 tackles. Well, none of them were anywhere near the line of scrimmage, but here's my point. I like Devin White, you know, but Steve is right. He's got a ways to go in coverage. I mean, a long ways to go in coverage. So, he's been very effective as a blitzer. He had 5 sacks in the last 3 weeks going into the New Orleans game, and they got him in coverage. Steve, I can't figure out what the heck Bowles was doing Sunday night.
I'm glad you also mentioned the game plan. Lee mentioned the game plan. What game plan? But that's another story. Ira, now very important, Ira. We've just gotten through this tropical storm. That means a lot of people across the Bay Area have water in their house. They may not even realize it yet. They've got leaky roofs. They've got straight up flooding, whatever it might be. Maybe their power's out and they're going to start smelling mold soon. When that's your situation, you contact Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. Not everybody has that designation by any stretch of the imagination. You call them first. They'll give you a free estimate as to what's happening in your home before you call your insurance company and wait on hold for 7 hours. Only for them to get an adjuster out there eventually, and you've got problems, and they might rip you off. And you want to call Florida's Elite Restoration first. They're going to handle things for you. you know, a lot of people are in that situation or will be coming up pretty soon. So I wanted to get that out there right away, Ira.
A lot of times it's a minor repair job. And if it is, you know, you will get an honest assessment from Florida's Elite Restoration. So let them come out. It won't cost you a dime, not a single dime, and get an assessment, and they will relieve your worries more times than not.
And if you do have a big problem, they can take care of it. Any disaster they can handle, get to their website, floridaseliterestoration.com. They'll respond 24/7, and they will call you back within a couple hours. They can get out there. They're a local company. We know the owners, but they're not too big to give you personal service. They're also sponsoring, Ira, our Fan Appreciation Day at Big Storm Brewery for the Buccaneers-Falcons game on December 20th. So we're doing our reset on that. They're going to buy everybody a beer, and they'll be out there sitting with you, the Sage, at about noon before the 1 o'clock kickoff. And, of course, anybody, plumbers, contractors, who wants to talk to them in person, talk a little shop, what better way to do it than over a Big Storm beer? But we love them. I wanted to get that out there right away, Sage. Ira, game plan. Okay, game plan. Bruce Arians, you know, the Buccaneers set that record, that unbelievable record, 5 rushing attempts in that game on Sunday. 3 by Rojo, 1 by Fournette, and a kneel down by Blaine Gabbert. That's the all-time record, which is hard to believe. And I got to think, Ira, and we want your wisdom, I got to think that Bruce Arians is embarrassed that he's got his name on that, because that never should have happened. And multiple times in multiple interviews this week, Arians has said, well, we probably should have stuck with the run a little bit and got away from that too soon, but we wanted to jumpstart things. You know, I'm just wondering, Ira, if you think there's going to be a tremendous commitment to the run this week after they basically just threw it in the toilet in historic fashion.
I think part of the problem, part of it, was the Saints came in with a lousy pass defense. Lousy. Of course, they ended up being very good on Sunday night, but those were the numbers halfway through the year. They were not very good about defending the pass. As we've said many times, the strength of this Buck offense is throwing the ball. Only Matt Ryan, out of 32 quarterbacks, has thrown more balls than Tom Brady. Only one guy. So this has been a season-long issue. You know, the Bucks throw a lot of balls. And, Lee, you know, look, it's an issue, but it's an issue maybe for 15 minutes. The way the game was going, once it's 21-0, all bets are off. I'm not going to rip Bruce Arians for not running the ball, and Leftwich for not running the ball when you're getting your brains beat out. So for about 15 minutes, it was an issue. Three and out, four three and outs in a row. Disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. Are they going to go run heavy against the Panthers? No, they're not, Lee. It's not in their nature. It's not what Arians wants to do. Now, Antonio Brown, that's another layer. Get him involved. And they haven't run the ball very well when they do run it the last 2 or 3 weeks. So anybody that thinks Brady's going to throw 22 passes in this game, I think is nuts.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. If they're going to be pass happier, or they're all of a sudden they're going to try to be like the old Miami Dolphins and ground and pound. I don't know what to think about the Bucs overall. You know, like I said previously, that Giants game spooked me. And then they come out and they laid one of the biggest eggs I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if this team is going to fold up their tents or not, but Ira, what are your feedback on this? Now, I don't buy that, the Bucs have looked lousy ever since they got Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown was not part of the game plan against the Giants. He wasn't eligible to play. He was working on the sideline. He wasn't working with the team. I don't buy that all of a sudden, before the Giants game, that he poisoned the locker room. But Jeff Cameron of Scuttlebucks brought this up. The Bucks were sort of an offense learning on the fly. You know, they're trying to mold Arians' mentality with Brady's mentality. And it looks like they had just turned the corner in doing that. They clobbered the Packers. They played really well against the Raiders. Then all of a sudden, boom, the Giants hit. Do you think just it got in their head? You know, like, oh my gosh, we got to find out a way to work in Antonio Brown. Even though Brown was not eligible, do you think that got in some people's heads, or maybe the coach's heads, and that in the process screwed up the offense? that would never turn in the corner.
First, I agree with your first analysis that it's way too early to blame anything on Antonio Brown. You know, there's no evidence that he's been a problem in the locker room, even though I think it's fair to say not everybody was on board with the move. I think that's fair. But there's no reason to think he's screwing up this team at this point. All bets are off going forward, given his past. But I'm with you on that, Lee. I'm not blaming Antonio Brown for a bad effort and then a horrible effort in the last 2 weeks. Maybe we're overanalyzing this thing about the Buck offense. The offensive line, Steve, the protection, which had been good, I think's taken a huge step back. I didn't like it against the Giants, especially in the first half. And the Giants are not known for their pass rush, Steve, but I thought Brady was under a lot of duress in the first half of that game. And we saw what happened Sunday night. He got rattled. Yes, the GOAT got rattled. He saw pressure when it wasn't even there, Lee and Steve. And that happens to the best of them. It happened to Rodgers and Ray J. Even when there isn't pressure, once they establish it, you got happy feet. We saw that with Brady. So, Steve, this is a big game for the Buck offensive line. I mean you, Donovan Smith. And I guess Joe Hague didn't play very well, according to Arians, because I was thinking maybe they got to give Hague a shot at left tackle. That's not going to happen because he didn't distinguish himself. But Donovan Smith, I don't care who you're going up against Sunday, you got to redeem yourself. Steve, this is a game of redemption. Donovan Smith, I'm calling you out. Jamel Dean, two bad weeks in a row. What are you doing out there? You're getting beat. You were terrible against the Giants. I've been praising you all freaking year, and you go out there and play like that. A lot of redemption on the line, Steve, Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Definitely, Ira. And Sunday at 12 o'clock is when you roll into Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 3,000-square-foot gorgeous outdoor game-watching area with their A-plus menu and Florida's best craft beer, including your favorite Kolsch and the Bromosa, that tangerine IPA, Tropic Pressure Florida Ale. So much fun out there, indoors, outdoors. Great place to watch the NFL all Sunday long. And Ira is there for every single Buccaneers road game. Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Ira, Lee, I got to tell you, the best line of the week. Best line of the week, and it was deadpan because it probably wasn't even a line, but maybe it was. I don't know. Is when Arians got on his radio show this week and he said that Joe Hague was just fine playing well until we went to all passing situations. And I'm like, that was 5 minutes into the game, man.
That's a Stone classic, Steve. They only ran the ball 5 times.
I know. I had to rewind that.
I was going to say, just so people didn't go over people's heads, the Bucs set the NFL record for fierce rush attempts.
Yeah, I mean, so in some ways, Ira, when I heard that, in some ways on a more X's and O's front, and it's no excuse, but in some ways it made me wonder, hey, was Donovan Smith maybe it was in his head a little bit of a distraction that I got to cover for this guy a little bit, and he sort of lost his way mentally more than usual? I don't know. It's not an excuse, but if Ali Marpet comes back off the concussion protocol, which appears likely since he started practicing, then I think that's a little extra boost for Smith. And even if Smith struggles, maybe for a play, maybe Marpet's the guy who knows how to pick him up versus Hague, who's kind of a stranger.
Lee, this is a good game for the Buck offensive line to redeem themselves. It is. You can't ask for a better matchup in terms of a pass rush. Steve said 9 sacks. Lee, that's pitiful. I mean, that's Buccaneers, 2017. I mean, you can't do that. 9 sacks? That's horrible.
Be careful, Ira. There's a couple people that read JoeBuckSaying.com, and I should say comment. They will have you believe that sacks are basically the stat geek equivalent of strikeouts in baseball. It doesn't matter. That pressure is more important. That if you can come within 5 feet of a quarterback, like, hi, Tom Brady, and he'll freak out and he'll throw a pick. There are actually people that walk the face of the earth that think pressure is more important than sacks. They lurk among us, Ira. And when you mock the lack of sacks from the Panthers, they'll probably dig up some kind of pressure sack that proves their point that pressure is more important than sacks.
Well, Lee, I understand that. We watched the Panther-Chiefs game very closely, Lee, you and I, from our particular vantage point. And we saw that Mahomes had a field day. I mean, he did. It wasn't like they weren't getting shredded by Pat Mahomes. The reason Carolina stayed close was, you know, they gained over 400 yards. I think they had 30 first downs. I mean, the offense was tremendous. McCaffrey had a big day, 150 yards from scrimmage. And Bridgewater, Steve, I said Bridgewater completed 33 balls against the Bucs in week two. Steve, he had 36 completions against the Chiefs, who don't have a bad defense. I think he was 36 for 49. Steve, on the season, the guy's completed 72% of his passes, number two in the league to Breeze. So, Steve, what I'm saying is the Buck defense in consecutive weeks is going up against the two most accurate passers in the National Football League.
I hear you, Ira. You know, those Chiefs, I know you love them, but their defense has been very suspect this year. Very suspect. We saw what the Raiders did to them. The Panthers, Ira, yeah. Panthers, 23, they're 23rd ranked in scoring points in the NFL. You would not have known that by watching the Chiefs game, but they ranked 23rd, and they're 15th in yards. So the very, very average offense, statistically speaking. The defense is 15th in points allowed, 17th in yards allowed. You know, very average in many aspects, but it doesn't mean they're not dangerous.
Steve, they've played much of the year without McCaffrey, Steve. You got to throw that in there. You got to throw that in there.
That's fine. You know, the Bucs have always handled McCaffrey. They handled him pretty well in week two, but he did score a couple of touchdowns. But without him, you know, and they got a big lift from getting their superstar back against the Chiefs. Most teams can't handle the guy, and that was pretty evident. But without him this week, I mean, that's a huge bonus for the Bucs. You know, their stud rookie safety, Jeremy Chinn, who's getting all these accolades. He's Steve Atwater's nephew, and he's been more productive than really most. He leads the NFL in rookie tackles, and he's got a pick and all this stuff. He's got a knee issue, and he may not be back. So those are bonuses, at least for the Bucs.
Lee, I gotta say you're right about something, Lee, and it hurts to say it, but Lee, we gotta face the facts. If they lose this game, I don't think they will. But if they lose this game, you know, they might be very, very well looking at 6-6 at the bye, Lee. I mean, that is no stretch to think about that.
I wrote exactly that. You know, this season really could go south very quickly if they don't turn things around very quickly.
Yeah, critical game, Ira. And, you know, on top of the fact that it's a division game, and like it or not believe it or not, they're still in the hunt for the NFC South. I mean, just because they're a game and a half back doesn't mean they're out of it. New Orleans has had its share of rough nights. So, I mean, it's critical. If you lose this game, you are basically completely wiped out of the division title opportunity, and you're just nobody can possibly have any faith in you if you lose three in a row, which is why I have no faith in the Panthers, because they've lost four in a row. But we'll get to that later, Sage.
Steve, what kind of confidence would you have if you just get in? You know, no matter what your record is, even if it's 9-7, but if you get in and you got the GOAT, even if it's on the road, you got the GOAT. And Lee, he's 30-11 in the postseason. I mean, that's a hell of a record. Because you're playing the best teams in the league every year. I understand it was with Foxborough. I understand it was with Belichick and a good defense, very good defense a lot of those years, but Lee, is there something to be said? Just get in, and now you got Brady if he's healthy?
2 months ago, Bucs fans would have been jumping in the Gulf naked if you told them that they'd be making the playoffs and playing on the road in Green Bay. Ecstasy would be a word to use for Bucs fans if they thought that was going to happen. So here we are 2 months later, and we're like, whoa, is the Bucs? They might not win the division. So I'm trying to keep things in perspective. I guess the reason why it's so frustrating is the Bucs, if they win that game against the Saints, they control the NFC playoff picture. And now they're looking at a wild card. So, it's kind of interesting how perception changes within a matter of about 6 weeks.
I got a good nugget for you. I don't know if you saw it at joebucksfan.com regarding what you just brought up. But first, I want to remind everybody, as we heard to start the podcast, Bill Curry Ford, $1,000 Amazon gift card if you buy a car this month, buy a truck this month, up to $1,000, including a lease. Tremendous offer directly from General Manager Sean Sullivan. BillCurryFord.com is the website. Sean is aching to take care of you. And Saturday, what a great day to go shopping for a vehicle after this messy week. You want something new. You want something fresh to kick off 2021. Bill Curry Ford. Sean's waiting for you, ready to give you that Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan discount on top of that. Ira, Donovan McNabb jumped on CBS Sports Radio, and we know his history. He's gotten fired. He's had some scandals, whatever. But, man, I was stunned how well-versed he was on the Buccaneers. I mean, he's bringing up Jaden Mickens. He's talking about crossing routes. He's all, like, it was as if he's watched every single Bucs game. And he was very clear. He said, don't lose sight of the fact that the Bucs have been a very, very poor organization, very up and down, nothing, not a good organization. And those guys around Brady, aside from the ones he brought in, they don't have any playoff experience. They don't have any big game experience. And sure, they'll get more of that along the way. And he thinks they're a playoff team. He fully believes that. But he doesn't think they will hold a candle from what he's seeing now to a Seattle, to a Green Bay, if they have to go on the road. And, of course, New Orleans is lurking there with a lot of experience as well.
You know, I always thought during McNabb's playing days and being around them, I thought he was always very sharp, very articulate. I thought he was a very smart quarterback. He did not throw a lot of interceptions. That's why it was so stunning that Rondé Barber seemed to have his number, especially the biggest play in Buck history. McNabb's interception rate, Lee, for his career, it's like top 10 all time in terms of being low. So he was a very smart quarterback. I can't believe he is weighing in on Jaden Mickens. That's unbelievable, but his point's pretty well taken. Lee, his point's pretty well taken. Look, they don't have a lot of guys, very few, with a playoff pedigree compared to Green Bay, Seattle. There's no question about it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. First, they got to get there. Are the Bucs going to freeze, literally and figuratively, at Lambeau? Maybe. This offensive line, no playoff experience whatsoever, except maybe Joe Haig might have gotten a game or two with the Colts. Lee, I'm not overly worried about that. They got Brady at the helm, so when January rolls around, if they're in it, which I think they will be, I think Brady can make up for a lot of lack of playoff experience because he's got it coming out of every pore in his body.
I sort of wonder, and I always have, if that's overblown, like playoff experience. I mean, Ira, you and I could sit down and think of some of the best teams that were ever in the NFL. They broke out with zero playoff experience, and
right,
they won Super Bowls or got to a Super Bowl. I mean, Rams spring to mind, 1999.
That's right.
What were they
that's
before?
Right.
They were nothing. San Francisco's first Super Bowl. They were a thoroughly garbage team until that year. And all of a sudden they win the Super Bowl and became one of the best, a dynasty team. So I don't know if that's overblown or not, or, some of the examples I just cited, and I'm sure we can come up with others, are exceptions to the rule. And it's still blocking and tackling. I mean, it's like, do you forget how to block and tackle if you're in a playoff game? I don't know. I would hope not. But what I do find interesting, what McNabb said, is a mentality. I'll play Levante David here. Mentality. Levante, you're always losing. What about your mentality? Come on. Are the Bucks a mentally strong team to win a playoff game? Just judging by the last 10 years, I would say no. And the most recent example would be that horse manure we witnessed Sunday night at the Den of Depression.
Steve, what's your gauge? And it's all conjecture, Steve. But does a game like that shake the confidence of a lot of players on this team that are not used to being successful? Does it change the mentality of, you know, Alex Kappa or Ronald Jones, man, that we're not as good as we think we are? I don't know. I don't think it does, Steve. I think they're going to be able to shrug this thing off.
It's a great, great question, Ira. A fantastic question. And I'll give you two answers to that. One, it's important to note that Arians said this week that he believes that the excitement level of playing in prime time has affected his team, that they haven't known how to handle it. He suggested maybe they're losing some adrenaline because they're all overly hyped up, or too many of them. And that's part of what he's going to look at. And that's really him admitting that, hey, this team's immature and doesn't know how to handle big games. And I'm not sure that that has anything to do with a night game. We're going to find out on Sunday because this is a damn big game. But to ask about the losing mentality of Bucks who've been around and maybe they're thinking, here we go again, I'm going to say no, Ira, only because they're 6-3. They look at that record, they look at the standings, and they're like, we're 6-3. We're twice as good as we've ever been around here. So and then they see Tom Brady come in. You know, they come in after the loss, and you know all eyes were on Tom Brady. What's Brady going to be like? And you know that he's coming in completely workmanlike and as if it never happened and all that stuff. So I think they have some good models to go after, and I don't think some of the guys on defense that are more established, like the Sues and the JPPs, that they're walking around pouting. I am a little nervous, though, that the coaching staff doesn't know how to handle it, because I don't even know why Sunday night happened. So I am a little nervous.
You know, Lee, I understand Arians is looking at these night games and we're coming out flat and this and that. Lee, it's not like this guy's new at the rodeo. I mean, the Cardinals played night games during Arians' 5 years in the desert. It's not like they were never on prime time. He should know by now, Lee, how to get a team ready for a prime time affair. So, to me, you know, it sounds like a guy who's looking for a reason why they were so bad and coming up with anything he can find. I'm not buying this prime time hogwash, Lee, hogwash. I think Steve's point is right. Lee, if they win the game, which they're favored to win, as hard as Carolina's playing, they're outclassed in terms of talent. I mean, let's be honest. And so, you know, if the Bucks are 7-3, Lee, two home games upcoming before the bye, albeit against tough teams, you know, there's nothing wrong with being 7-3, especially for this franchise.
Oh, no, you're exactly right, Ira. There's no issue being 7-3. And by the way, Arians in primetime games, I mean, primetime games, did he go through as offensive coordinator of the Steelers? Steelers are always on prime time. So you made a good point, Ira. I think Arians is grasping at straws here. That Sunday night game was such a bombshell that they don't know what hit him. They don't know what hit him. And Arians got a loss for words.
I think Arians is shook up, Steve. I think he's shook up. It started with the first half of the Giants game. And I noticed every time they panned to the sidelines, while the Giants were rolling up 15 first downs, Steve, in the first two quarters, and the Bucks were flat as hell and looked like, you know, they were out for a scrimmage, Arians was absolutely appalled. I mean, appalled. And we're not, you know, we haven't even gotten to Sunday night. So I think he shook up. He did not think this could happen to this team. And, Steve, I think the question is, now that it has happened, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, it's a great point, Ira. I think he was shook up mostly by the defense. When he goes to Todd Bowles and says, what the hell's going on? And Bowles says, you saw them on the sideline. Bowles is like, I don't know. I feel like I'm coaching the Jets again. You know, I don't know what what happened there. That's the thing. There are no answers. I mean, I'm sure Arians would have loved to play Thursday night this week to not have to answer any more questions, because it is a complete unknown. And you said it before, and other people have said it too. They never made a run. They never made a whimper. They got a couple of turnovers, but it was just a freaking mess, Ira. I want to throw this past you, Sage, briefly, only because I know you care about this, and your buddy Chris Russo that you visit on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Radio, goes crazy for this stuff. This appeared on the New Orleans Saints official website. Of course, it did not appear on Buccaneers.com, because it had a tinge of negativity to it, but the ratings were down for NBC's ratings plummeted 25% for that Bucks Saints game compared to last year's Patriots Ravens game in the exact same week. And that nugget was not on the website, but the nugget that was is that in New Orleans, they got a 45% rating with 63 share, which means 63% of the TVs that were on were tuned to the game. In Tampa, it was a 19 rating with a 35 share. And that's not very good considering all the hype and all the everything. You know, it just shows you that the Bucks don't have that hold in the market. Not yet, like many other teams have.
That's a real stunner, because coming in, everybody in Tampa knew this was the game of the year, the battle for control of the division with Brady. Lee, that's a bad number. I mean, you know, Russo loves those numbers, Lee. You know, he loves to talk about ratings. Congratulations, New Orleans Nation, for backing your Saints. In terms of a share, 65. And Lee, I'm absolutely stunned. There's no hockey going on. There's no baseball. What the heck were people watching Sunday night? Animal pet tricks? I mean, that is brutal, Lee. I don't understand that.
Part of this is the Bucks don't have any traction nationally. If you listen to national shows, you hear them talking about Alex Kappa. You hear them talking about Levante David. Not much. What you hear is Brady, Gronk, Antonio Brown, established stars. That's who they're talking about. I'll never forget when Joe Buck, I can't remember what radio show it was, right before the season, and Joe Buck was talking about how they're expected to do so many Bucks games that he was talking about getting an apartment in Tampa, him and Troy Aikman. And he said, and the names he said, he goes, you know, look at the Bucks. They've got Tom Brady. They've got Gronkowski. They've got Bruce Arians. Nothing about the guys that run the roster the year prior. And that's just the mentality, or, you know, how unpopular and insignificant the Bucks were nationally. Now, I do know that the first game of the year, the Saints-Bucks, that got really good ratings.
Yep.
Nationally. I don't know about locally.
Yep.
Nationally, it got really good ratings. That's why I refer to it. There's some conflicting information here. So I don't know if people got turned off by the Bucks real quick or not nationally. I don't know what the ratings were locally for the first week. I can't comment. But don't bring in hockey. I know, Ira, you go on Russo's show, and the way you talk about the Lightning, it's like they pack in 50,000 people a night. Like it's the greatest thing since Clearwater Beach that happened in this area. Steve's written several times how ratings are the Lightning. It's a drop in the bucket compared to the Bucks.
Yeah, but Lee, why weren't there more Tampa eyes on the Saints Buck game Sunday night? Why?
People are doing other things? I don't know.
That's,
you know, we got to remember, we live in a football bubble, and there's actually life beyond our football bubble. I know it's shocking. I actually know people, Ira, that never watch football. Can you imagine? But there are people that crawling off all fours on the face of the earth that don't watch football. I would not want to live in such a household, but they happen.
I just thought I'd throw that past you, Ira. It is was a little bit surprising just when you compare the apples to oranges in the two markets. Not enough excitement yet for the Bucks. And for those wondering, well, I mentioned that 19 rating for the Bucks and a 35 share. In the old days, they used to get 40 and 50 rating points for games during the heyday of the glory days. And now it seems to be in the neighborhood of less than half.
Sunday night is a big viewing night. It's a big, big viewing night, Sunday evening. People are getting ready for Monday in their home Sunday night. And Steve, those numbers,
man, Ira.
Ira.
Steve, those numbers.
People are getting ready. This is what my old man always used to say. People are getting ready for the work week. They're staying home. They're trying to rest up.
Well, Lee, you don't want to address the fact that the New Orleans rating in New Orleans was double the Tampa rating. You don't want to address it.
It's been that way for years, Ira. I can remember years ago people talk about, you know, the TV rating, the ratings the Saints get in New Orleans is ridiculous. Neil Best wrote stories about that, how more people in New Orleans will watch a Saints-Giants game than will watch it in New York. I I've seen those stories for years. That's really no surprise. Percentage-wise, per capita, there's a whole lot more Saints fans in New Orleans than our Giants fans in New York or their Bucks fans in Tampa. That's a very, very hyper-involved, engaged fan base that New Orleans has.
I'll tell you what those numbers are. They are not consistent, Mr. Isbitz, with our numbers. Joe Buck's fan numbers are going through the roof in terms of page views and podcast listeners. So to think that people in this town are not into the Bucks, I think is a crazy notion. I don't understand what happened Sunday evening. I really don't.
I don't know, Sage, but it's just an interesting little nugget to keep track of, and we've got more night games to play with later, and I'll go back and look at that Giants thing out of curiosity, Lee, just to see.
Here's what I will address, Ira. The new president of NBC Sports, I think by 9:30 Sunday night, was on the phone with Roger Goodell using every four-letter word in the book. Don't you ever stick me with the Bucks again, you SOB.
Well, Steve, you know, if they try to get that number at 9:30 at night, I understand it. I understand the 35%. In fact, I would say, yeah, I can't believe that many people are still watching. But if it was at 8:30, that's a bad number at 8:30. It's a good number at 9:30, Steve.
Yeah, usually those are just gross numbers for any point, but I got you, Sage. Wanted to throw this past you before we get to our picks, and a reminder, floridaseliterestoration.com. That's your website. If you have any sort of flooding, water, mold, if something pops up in a few days, call them 24/7. They will help you out. And our presenting sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, $1,000 Amazon gift card, up to $1,000 this month if you lease or buy a new vehicle. And Sage will be at Big Storm Clearwater on Sunday, fired up, soothing Bucks fans and stuffing his face. Get there about noon, kick off at 1. You can sit indoors, you can sit outdoors, fully socially distanced, open air, but completely covered. One of the best setups for watching football around. Ira, one thing that got lost in the game that is going to be important on Sunday, and Arians said this is what he wants the team to get back to. We know there are issues with penalties early in the year, and they completely cleaned it up, 100%. And then last week, lost in that mess of a game, completely lost in the game, is that they had 9 penalties for 100-and-something yards. And that's really bad, and especially since the game was out of hand later, what are you committing penalties for? Do you think the Bucs can straighten that part of it out? And then you look at the Panthers. They're one of the few teams in the league that has more penalties than the Bucs. They've been very sloppy. What do you think about the penalty front?
Well, Lee, I think that's another indication of how bad it was Sunday night is you and I, we probably didn't even realize they had 9 penalties because most of the time we would say that's a big factor in them losing and they got to clean that up. Lee, that's maybe the number 6 thing you look at after a game like that. It was so bad that, you know, you're looking at pass rush and pass protection and coverage and, you know, you get around to penalties after about a half an hour. That's how bad it was. So, you know, I think that was part of the problem in terms of penalties is you get behind, you're trying to do too much, Lee. You're completely taken out of your game plan at that point. And it happened very, very quickly, very, very early. So I dare say most of the penalties happened after they were down 21-0. At this point, Lee, I'm not that worried about the flags. I'm worried about the physicality. To me, that's a lot bigger problem and a lot tougher to fix.
That's a bad sign for a bad omen for the Carolina game. Carolina's physical, and the Bucks didn't play physical whatsoever Sunday night. Yeah, that's troubling to think about. Man, I just can't believe how this team collapsed like they did Sunday night. Holy cow!
It was a very special brand of ugly.
Steve, I got a quick question. The guys were wide open all night, wide ass open, you know, the Saints, and no ground, you know, there's no pass defense number that's going to be thrown out there. I think they had 2 the whole game. One of them was from JPP, and the other one was from Mike Edwards. I mean, it was like the quarterbacks, you know, didn't play that night. And so here's my question. How much of that was because Breeze had so much time to throw? And how much time was, how much of it was terrible coverage? Steve, what do you think?
I don't know, Ira. They, as you know, as Lee would say, and as every Bucks fan would say, that game was just so awful that, I mean, they failed on every front. That's why I brought up the penalty thing, is because it was really bad, but nobody even realized it because everything else was so bad. I don't know, Ira, but there was no pass rush, and most quarterbacks are going to pick you apart if you can't get close to them.
Lee, I was just stunned by how open these guys were. No Buck in the vicinity. It reminded
Max Smith
of the old days, Lee. It did.
You know what that was like? I just thought of this. And we've all been in an accident before. And the minutes immediately after getting into an accident, you're in a daze. That's what that game was like. Those guys got hit. They were in a car wreck in the first couple minutes of the game. And the rest of the game, they were in an absolute daze.
Not a bad analogy. I hope you're not driving, Isbeth.
No, but it did make me think of our great friends at Dolman Law Group. They don't advertise on the podcast, but great friends. If you need any legal assistance, dolmanlaw.com. We're not supposed to personally endorse a law firm. That's supposedly against the rules, but dolmanlaw.com. Sage, here we go. We're going to make our picks. You can pick the order. You want Lee to go first? You want me to go first? You want you to go first? What do you want?
I'll kick it off, gentlemen. I still got faith in this team, although not as much as I did a couple of weeks ago. I don't think Carolina has the weapons to challenge. And most importantly, I don't think they have the pass rush to really unnerve Brady. So, Lee, 27-13, Bucks get back on track, Lee.
Well, we sit here for a whole podcast, and we find ways to mock the Panthers, how bad they are, how awful they are. And yet they had the Chiefs on the brink of collapse. I watched that game. That didn't look like any kind of 3-16 to me. And I saw how the Panthers came back on the Bucks. So, you know, we all saw that. But here we're trying to make excuses how the Panthers are horrible. When the Bucks were 3-6, they were horrible. The Panthers, they don't look like a horrible 3-6 to me. They look like a more complete team, a team with fire. I hate to say this, the Bucks had no fire Sunday night. They had little fire against the Giants. The Panthers showed more spirit, more guts. You know what? I'm going with the Panthers. Damn it, Bucks, give me a reason to jump on your bandwagon. The same Sunday night was not a reason. That was a reason to run away. That was a reason to move to the Philippines. But you guys displayed Sunday night. The Giants game, that was a reason to get off the bandwagon. Give me a reason to jump on the bandwagon. Pound the Panthers. I'm picking the Panthers. 27-24.
Well done, Lee. Well done.
The Philippines line really got me. The Philippines, that really got me. Our Sage, Buccaneers are a 5.5-point favorite. The line has moved in their direction a little bit. And I would feel differently about this game if McCaffrey was playing, because the Bucs have appeared vulnerable the last two games against the run. They don't have the same run defense that they've showed in the previous week. So that would have scared me quite a bit. But without McCaffrey and just looking at the balance of talent, and you know, some teams just don't know how to win, yet no matter how hard they play. The Panthers have lost 4 in a row. They're 1-3 at home. I just think the Bucs will win on talent. I can't go as big as what you did, Ira, and I think the bounce back will be good. Donovan Smith is primed for to right his ship and then screw up in a couple of weeks against the Chiefs. So I'm going to say Buccaneers 27 and Panthers 19.
All right, gentlemen. Lee, you did a hell of a wrap-up there, Lee. That was outstanding.
It was a good one. One quick question for you guys before we head out, Ira. And, of course, anybody can subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, many other forums. Get a free alert when it shows. Feel free to leave a review. If you made it this long, you probably like the podcast. So we appreciate that. Ira, big game Monday night for the Bucks. Vikings at the Bears. So I wanted to get your opinion. Vikings at the Bears. If the Bears lose, then they're, 5-5? and that gives the Bucks a little more cushion on the wild card, no matter what happens against the Panthers. But on the flip side, if the Vikings win on the road in Chicago, tough weather, then they're really on a roll, and the Bucks have them later. What are your thoughts there and just the magnitude of that game?
You know, I've been looking at the Vikings, guys, and they had a terrible start this year. Terrible. Dalvin Cook's going crazy. I think without Russell Wilson, he'd be the MVP. Him and Kamara would duke it out. Cook looks tremendous. So, I don't know. I'm a little worried about the Vikings in terms of the wild card. They'd be 4-6, Steve, I believe, if they won. I think they could end up with 9 wins, possibly, if that happened. So, I would root for the Bears. I just want to get in if I'm a Buck fan at this point. I just want to get into the dance, and I'll take my chances with number 12. So, I don't need the Vikings being a pest in the second half of the season.
The Vikings are a pest. And I know the Bucks don't play the Vikings for, you know, not until December. But Kirk Cousins cleans up on the Bucks historically. Do you like that?
All right, boys. It should be fun. Very exciting. Ira, last call here for you. Have you decided on your menu item when you watch the game with Bucks fans at Big Storm in Clearwater on Sunday? Have you decided on the opening salvo?
You know, the Bucks are off to slow starts, but I'm going to change that on a personal basis because I'm going right to the ribs, gentlemen, right to the ribs. And I follow up in the second quarter with some wings. I'm opening with the ribs because that will give me a 10-point cushion the rest of the way.
I knew I was going to say ribs. He always says ribs, and what does he do? He gets there, he orders catfish.
Hogfish.
Either
dogfish, I don't know.
Either way, yeah. Ira, we'll get the cardiologist on speed dial and go Bucks.